team of Ryan Moore, Dylan Brown McMonagle and Safi Osborne. No, we don't need that. I've got my Racing Postcards team, better than ever. Graham Robway, Matt Rennie and Ed Nicholson here for the Racing Postcards. Brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. And it is the Shergar Cup weekend, one of the more unique or the most unique racing weekends of the British racing calendar. It really is an intriguing event, and there are four teams taking part this year, and it looks like four very good teams in the fact we have the likes of Ryan Moore, Dylan Brown McMonagle and Safi Osborne representing Great Britain and Ireland, which is a superb team. But we have Hong Kong competing for the first time, as well as some top class riders coming over internationally. It is a unique event. I'm actually going to be in attendance for the first time ever. I'm going to be intrigued to see what kind of party atmosphere it is there at Ascot on Saturday. But like I say, we've got six races to go through on the Shergar Cups event, and I've got a good team to go through it with me. And we'll start off, gents, with the opening race of the meeting, which is the 135, the Dubai Duty Free Shergar Cup Dash, which is the 5-furlong sprint. It is obviously a handicap there, where Bolognese is the 9-2 favourite, along with Tuco Salamanca. We have Fandom at 11-2, Always Glamorous 7-1, Apollo 1 is actually a reserve at the moment, but 15-2, and then double figures about the rest of the field. And Christophe Lemaire is riding the favourite Bolognese for Rafe Beckett. Obviously, these are randomly drawn, these jockeys, onto these horses. They'll be wearing their team silks. And Graham Robway, it is a difficult event for some people to bet on. Some people don't enjoy betting on an event like this, but it's going to be competitive enough with these fields.
Yeah, I have no problem betting on it. You know, I have no interest in the team element at all. You know, but as a punter, they're great races to bet on, aren't they? You know, they're like 9-2 the fields, 4-1 the fields, 10-12 runners, competitive. Great if you have a bet, and I like a bet. So Always Glamorous for me in this opener, Sam. Nicely drawn in stall 11, I think, anyway, for a front runner. Come right up that stand side rail. Can Madame Verlon? I don't know anything about her. Do you know anything
very
about Madame Verlon, Sam?
Marie Verlon is very good.
Yeah,
Group 1 winning jockey.
Yes.
Good. Like the sound of that. So, anyway, you know, it won't take much riding, will it? I mean, it's just point and shoot, isn't it? 5 furlongs up the straight course at Ascot. The horse front runs, made all at the track last time over course and distance. The time was very, very good, and a reproduction of that form. And I think that it'll be the hat trick for Always Glamorous and Madame Verlon.
Marie Verlon, yeah, she's a very, very good jockey. She's a Group 1 winning rider over in France. I'm trying to remember the name of the horse, but it'll come to me in a minute. Matt might even have it when I go to him in a second, but I remember wearing pink colours, I believe, with a black star. Matt Rennie, who's your fancy in the opening race?
Well, I'll answer your quiz question first. Irascene was
that's
the one.
That's it, Irascene. That's
winner,
the one.
Winner of the Pre-Royal Oak and the Gannai a couple
that's
of years
it.
Ago.
Yeah.
Good little underestimated gelding that, well, if he was 2 years younger than what he is now, I think he's an absolute veteran. He'd probably be running in the arc next year, but that's another debate. I'm with G-Rod in this one. Always Glamorous. I think it's a agree that it's point and shoot, and I think Marie Villon's a good jockey. I think Always Glamorous, he's got a terrific record at Ascot over the course and distance as well. Well, impressive winner of a deeper race over at the King George meeting last month, beating Get Ready to Rumble. Obviously, that's Harry Wilson's favourite cliff horse of all time at the moment, and thinks could win a group race. And so you've got people thinking that's a pretty classy horse it had to beat last time. He was a good third here in May as well, and he was second in a similar handicap at the September meeting at Ascot last year as well. So you bet your bottom dollar he's going to run a really, really big race, and I dare say he's not the price he is given to the jockey that's probably been automatically booked for the ride. It's obviously Bolognese, we beat, I know he's wrong at the weights of them, but beat him comprehensively last time round, has Christophe Lemaire on board, and that's probably reflected in the price. So happy to keep it that way. Always Glamorous, I think he's got a really good chance in this.
Okay, two selections for Always Glamorous then. This isn't a show for flirting at all, but with a shirt like that on, Ed Nicholson, Always Glamorous as ever.
Thank you very much. And I'm going for the hat trick. Always Glamorous. For the reasons mentioned, I can't really add anything more to it. His full sister is Glamorous Breeze, who set the top five at Goodwood, set it off quite well for us when third at 25-1. And they just a very, very fast family from the Glow Glamorous mare. she does sometimes. He sometimes does take a hold. So they'll have to control in the early part of the race. But yeah, I can see making every single yard. So always glamorous to win the first race at Ascot on Saturday. We are going money back second or third in this race as well. Our flagship offer.
Okay, money back second or third. Always glamorous for Ed Nixon, a hat-trick horse. Let's see if there are any more hat-trick horses throughout the show. But yeah, plenty of offers from Unibet throughout the weekend and across the week. Do head to their website and app for the terms and conditions there. But always glamorous, a really, really nice price around 7-1. The next race is the 210 at Ascot, which is the Sugar Cup Stayers Handicap. This is a 2 mile event where Shrimp Shady is the 7-2 favourite. I'd imagine this horse had a bit of support already with Ryan Moore being jocked up on this one for Andrew Balding. Hermetic is 11-2. Baylor Bay 6-1. Marnier 13-2. Mountain Road 13-2. Polestar 15-2. Kilmedon 17-2. And double figures about the rest. Baylor Bay, the one that I read out, is actually currently a reserve. There will be reserves in most of the, I think, all of these races for the Shergar Cup. I found a few interesting in here. I actually thought Ryan Moore's ride and Dylan Brownman Monagle's ride, Polestar Dylan's on, I think they're two really interesting rides. And they are going to be popular this weekend, Matt Rennie, with two huge names riding at the Shergar Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. So, however, I'm going to take a bit of a chance in this race with someone, I've never heard of him much, he's so ignorant of me, but Luke Ferraris, who's riding Dancing in Paris, and hopefully he can give it some va-va-voom.
Good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a bit of a chance in this race, but it seems like Ian Williams has targeted pretty well, given he's got One for the Gutter in there as well, and of course Byler Bay's, or Hermetic, and then Byler Bailey's the first reserve. And I'm just wondering if this time of the year is where Dancing in Paris really comes alive. I thought he ran okay at the King George Meet over just not an optimum trip of a mile and a half. He's an out-and-out stayer. And during the summer last year, he was beating a neck in the Northumberland Plate. He ran a really good race in that summer handicap at Glorious Goodwood, the staying handicap behind Sam Hawkins. And he wasn't beaten far by Santorini Star at the Ebor Festival last year, who essentially is a group two, possibly a group one mare in waiting. I can't remember if she's, I don't think she's won one yet, but she's run really, really well in group one levels. And I thought it was just a right step in the back in the right direction last time round, and he's just a pound higher than when he was only beaten narrowly in the Northumberland Plate last year. So I just wonder if this is his time of the year. I don't know how much with Ian Williams who's number one or not, but I'm happy just to take a chance at 12-1 in having a go at him, see if this is his time of the year to come back to his best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luke Ferrari's taking the ride. South African jockey representing Hong Kong, but speaking to a good friend of mine, Jack Dorling, he says that he's a very, very good rider out there. So he's coming over to make his Shergar Cup debut. Graham Robway, for you in the stayers race.
I fancy Marnier. Last time at Sandown, it was a very good race that Marnier won. The runner-up was called Pilates, and his half-sister or sister to Pile Driver, who was, of course, a King George winner. The third was Arcoob. And when I was at Newmarket last Saturday, Arcoob won one of the races there. So two subsequent winners. Pilates has also won since that Marnier beat that day. But yeah, he's only up £3 in the weights. The only thing is that since he's gone from John and Fady Gosden to Gary and Josh Moore's yard now, obviously, sure.
I wouldn't mind that. Why would you mind that? Great train outfit. It would probably be good at getting a horse ready for a race like this.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Gary and Josh Moore, of course. But, you know, we are talking about John and Fady Gosden, the best around, aren't they? So if they thought he had a really high future and a really high ceiling, you always think, well, you know, they'd be desperate to keep him. But you don't know what went on, you know. I mean, it could be any number of reasons why the horse has changed stable. And like you rightly say, Gary and Josh Moore are a great team anyway. If Marnier reproduces that Sandown run, I think he'd go very, very close, because he came from last that day as well. I thought he was quite poorly placed and did well to win. And Suraj Naredu is the jockey, and he rode the winner of this very race last year.
Yep. Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, Suraj, he was a top rider here last year, made a bit of a name for himself, a really famous family back home as well within the racing sphere. Ed Nixon, you've got the last say on the Stayers handicap.
Yeah, no, I like Shrimp Shady at the top of the market. We did these before knowing the betting, because the way that it works, the jockeys don't come through too late. I'm disappointed at the price. It'd be about 3-1, 4-1. But I thought Shrimp Shady has a progressive outlook. He's only run four times on turf and has won three of them. One last time out at Newbury, won the Chester Plate. Comes from Andrew Boarding stable, who does like to throw a few darts at this meeting, given the prize money, really good prize money at this meeting. And finally, if it is a race or a meeting for jockeys, the jockey you want above all is Ryan Moore. And Ryan Moore is riding Shrimp Shady. So for all those reasons, I just think he's a most likely, as is indicated by the odds, but probably is going to be the winner.
Okay, I can see it. And all these Ryan Moore mounts are probably going to get well backed at this Shergold Cup meeting with him riding. But C'est la vie. If you're a Bewitched fan, they're going to be performing after racing. So there you go. The 2:45 then at Ascot is the Shergold Cup Challenge handicap. A mile and a half for this one here, where Knight Breeze, Ian Williams and Dylan Brown at Monaghan, 4-1 favourite. Castle Stewart, 5-1. Francis FL is 5-1. Insanity is 13-2. Asgard's captain, this horse, again, been really well back. 16s into 8s. Ryan Moore for Dylan Cunha. Fancy Believers 8-1. Stem is 8-1. And 11-1 and bigger the rest. To you here, Graham. Rob, well, actually, it's boring, but I did like Asgard's captain here. And I think Dylan Cunha is going to be dead happy with Ryan Moore getting jocked up. I thought this horse had a right chance.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty on Asgard's captain. And, of course, the favourite, Nightbreed and Dylan Brown McMonagall. I think they're going to be the two jockeys that everyone latches onto. But as a result, they're probably the ones that I'm going to be trying to avoid. just because I think that the mounts are going to go off over bet, especially going against jockeys who most people have never heard of. And one of them is Jamie Mellum, who's riding Stem for Richard Hannon. And I thought this horse improved for going back up in trip last time at Sandown. Kept on very strongly to win a handicap there. Now, he's got to prove that he stays this even longer trip around a stiff track like Ascot. But who knows? Maybe it will even bring about a bit of improvement. And let's hope that his stall on the inside and stall free isn't too much of a hindrance. I know around that 1.5 mile track at Ascot can sometimes be coming from the outside, but it's not a massive field, it's only 10 in it. So I'm going to take a chance on Stem backing up his Sandown run under another relatively unknown jockey to British viewers, yes. Jamie Mellum.
Yeah, our Aussie producer, Bell, will know Jamie Mellon, or should do, as a Melbourne Cup winning jockey. It's Jamie Mellon. Matt Rennie, you've got your say here. Who do you like?
We've got the last two winners at the race coming back for more. Nightbreeze obviously won last year, and Insanity won 2 years ago and was third last year. And just at the prices, I would rather be with Insanity at the moment. Given how poorly he ran at the track last time, it might be Insanity that I'm backing him again. But generally before that, he's had a really sort of really solid course and distance record. As I mentioned it, winning this last year, he's had some really good placed efforts here before and got within the neck at Asgard captain in a really deep race at York's Ebor meeting last year. He's only £2 higher than last year's race, where I think it really didn't suit him. They went not really real pace early on, and he missed the start, and it was all up against it from there. He was nearest the finish. They're going to have a better pace on here, I think, with Claymore, who likes to go almost a bit happy-clapper up in front now. So, for me, just siding narrowly with Insanity over Nightbreeze.
Okay, Insanity, just narrowly, not a big selection here for Matt, but Ed Nixon might have a stronger say.
Yeah, no, I've got a stronger selection this time. It is going to be Nightbreeze, although on handicap racings, you would say he's going to have to do something that he hasn't done before. He won this race off, I think, 86 last year, and he'd be much higher this time, around 97. But he's got a good record at Ascot. I think his three races have brought two wins and a second. Ian Williams targets this meeting. He's had 44 horses run in this meeting over the years, 37 different jockeys, which, as you would expect, that's the way it goes. And he's drawn Dylan Brown McMonagall, who obviously is one of the top jockeys around the globe at the moment, and the up-and-coming younger jockey, I think, of the scene in terms of Group 1s. And Ian Williams had five horses, I think, entered here, and he's in good form. Three of his last nine runners have won. They're coming into form. I thought there's lots of positive for Nightbreeze. Again, the probably only negative is the price, around about 4-1. But be my selection. Expect him to go very close. Super boost on this with Unibet.
Okay, super boost on this race here with Unibet. The Nightbreeze, the selection in the 2.45 for Ed Nixon. The 3.20 then is the Shergar Cup Sprint, 6 furlongs. This one here with Thunder Call, I think, might be one of the shortest prices on the card. 7-4 favourite William Haggis and Jerry Chow. This is the team up here. The reserve in this race, and Yazi is 9-2 for Roger Varian. Red Spell's Danger, this must have been a good booking for Tim Easterby and Safi Osmond, 11-2. American Golf is 15-2. Fig Jam, 17-2. May Angel, 9-1. And 10-1 and bigger the rest of the field. Matt Rennie, to you for this one. You'll have the first say in the sprint.
Yeah, I think it's really simple here in that Thunder Call, he's just a good thing, isn't he? You know, he absolutely had the measure of Red. Red Spell's Danger, not the actual song.
I've
got to get it right because I've always got that song in my head when it runs at York. but yeah, he said the measure of him the last twice. I thought he was really unlucky at Newmark. He was just on the wrong side. Doesn't really hamper his progression. I can see him being a Group 3 winner this season, maybe up in the level. He's just incredibly progressive. Smaller field, even though he's won the big McMillan Sprint at York. This football field probably suit him even better. I think he's rock solid, to be honest with you. Whoever was going to be on board him, it was going to be a red hot favourite. I think he might just completely outclass his opposition and go on to bigger and better things later on in the campaign.
Okay, Thunder Call for Matt Rennie. Potentially a good thing, but I think we get along really well this week, Matt. We've agreed on Zavatarian. We're now both Billy Ocean fans, so there you go. Graham Rodway, good thing or not?
I've been taking it on, Sam. Solid form, obviously, last time at Newmarket, but been off the track since. I will be very interested if Anyazi gets in.
Yes.
That's reserve. First reserve. Roger Varian's handicapped debutant, who's won two novice events very, very well. Last time out at Leicester in a good time with a good finishing speed, which is a combination that I like. And I think that Anyazi would be really dangerous if he gets in against Thunder Call. If he doesn't get in, I think Red Spell's Danger will give him a bit more to think about this time. Last time at York, when Red Spell's Danger ran fifth, that race was run really quick from start to finish, and Red Spell's Danger was right up with the pace the whole way. I think the second, third and fourth were all held up and came from off it. Only the winner and Red Spell's Danger really were able to keep up the gallop. I think Red Spell's Danger probably a bit better than that bare form if he can get an easier time towards the front of the pace. But I'm against the favourite. I probably won't back Red Spell's Danger, but I will back Anyazi if it gets in.
This is exactly how I looked at the race, Mr. Rodway, is that I'm going to just wait till close to the time to find out if Anyazi ends up running, because I think if Anyazi ends up running, take some beating for Roger Varian. Ed Nicholson, how did you view this with the reserve in there?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it, when there's a reserve, but I've kind of gone straight to one of my favourite horses at the moment, Red Spell's Danger. So, I mean, Matt says he's, you know, that Thunder Call's beaten him twice. He has, but on the handicap marks, Red Spell's Danger can beat him. You know, it's a classic race, isn't it, where the horse has beaten him twice, but he gets the weight. I think last time out, he's got a pound for a head, and you might say that Thunder Call was on the other side, and you might say would have got up further and would have beaten Red Spell's Danger further. But I just, on weights and measures, I think Red Spell's Danger has got a chance, and therefore to be a 5-6-1 compared to Thunder Call being 6-4, 7-4, I think there's not much. That doesn't make sense to me. And also, I've tipped up Red Spell's Danger a couple of times. He's come fourth and second both times I've tipped him up on this show. I think a little uphill finish is going to suit him. I might be wrong, and you might say Newmarket was a little uphill finish, but I just think that the way he runs, he's got a gaping, he's got a really big, well, I think he's got a big stride, he's quite a big threat. I just think as they hit the rising ground at Ascot, he'll just, he'll keep on. And that, as has been said here, that performance at York last time, when fifth, he was keeping on, and he isn't slow, don't get me wrong, he's fast, so York won't not suit him, as we said earlier on the year when he came second. But I just think Ascot might be the perfect six furlongs for him. So I'm going to give him one more chance. There's a horse later on that I'm going to give one more chance to as well. But I think Red Spells Danger can spell danger for favourite backers here.
Two more races to cover then, the next of which is the Shergar Cup Classic, over a mile and a half, the 3:55 there at Ascot. This is potentially a really good race here, where Hesseki is the 7-4 favourite, William Haggis, Safi Osborne. This is the kind of race where you might get horse as well better than its mark. Archer's Bay is 11-2 with Ryan Moore on board for Marco Botti. Pierre Gross is 15-2. Bew Hercules is 8-1. Level Look, 10-1. And O'Hara, 11s, bigger the rest of the field. Mr. Robway, you've been saying you're going to try and take on a lot of these favourites. You've got the course and distance winner here in Hesseki, who has an excellent booking in Safi Osborne as a 7-4 favourite. For you or not?
Not for me, Sam. No, I'll be taking this one on as well. And I'm going to take a chance on Yutaka Taki.
No, the 57-year-old jockey.
He has been around forever. Do you know, when I first started going racing at Ascot, he was riding in the King George on the Japanese horses, and that must have been early 90s. It's got to be. How old did you say he is?
I mean, he's 57, I think.
57-year-old. Yutaka Taki. Fantastic. Amazing to still be riding at that age, and especially at a high level. And, Royal Poetry is the horse that he's riding here. Another one for Richard Hannon, who I tipped one of his horses earlier. Hannon tends to target this meet. There's a few trainers, aren't there? Haggis obviously has got a few. Andrew Balding does well here. Ian Williams, I think, was it... one of the lads mentioned. But this Royal Poetry, last time at Salisbury, was bidden to back up the win at Donny previously, and he just got in a mess in a muddling race. He comes from the back, he's a hold-up performer, and he needs a good pace to go at, and it was a bit of a muddling gallop in that small field last time at Salisbury, and he just couldn't get to the better position winner. I thought he emerged out of the race as the best horse out of the race, having looked at the way the race shaped up. It's a she, it's a filly, and I think that Royal Poetry here could take a big step forward if we get a good gallop here off the same mark around a stiff track like Ascot. They might just come back to her this time in the way that they didn't last time at Salisbury.
Okay, Royal Poetry around 11-1. Yutaka Taki taking the ride, and Harry Wilson's been wandering around the office today shouting "Mamma Mia, he's double my age, or more than double my age," which is, it's incredible, it really is. And he's still riding at a good level, Yutaka Taki, but he'll be showcasing his skills at Ascot on Saturday. Matt Rennie, are you going to be with the 57-year-old jockey?
Given he's 30 years older than me now after my birthday last week, he's probably still got better knees than I have at my age at the moment. He probably has. I'm not with him. I'm not really keen on many horses in this race. I just understand it's a bit of a minefield, and the favourite's a good chance. The only bit of nugget information I'd have would be Archer's Bay, the second favourite and the top weight. He's got some really good back form from earlier this season. He was third in the Newmarket Stakes listed race on 2000 Guineas Day behind Ancient Egypt, and Ancient Egypt has proven himself very much a Group 1 performer, hasn't he? He was only just denied by Maltese Cross in the Grand Prix de Paris. So if I was to have a tentative bet, it'd be on Archer's Bay, but very much one of the races of the day where I'd probably be best just leaving it off.
And leaving this one alone. It is a really interesting race. And yeah, I love backing Marco Botti horses, especially when you see Ryan Moore jocked up. Ed Nixon, for you.
Yeah, first of all, Yutaka Taki. You were right, Graham. 1994. I seem to remember him riding a horse called White Muzzle, so I had a quick look while you were talking. And he rode White Muzzle.
Might make you feel old, so maybe that was the year I was born.
1994. Well, I was there that year, so there you go. Second to King's Theatre. But I remember him running in the... I thought he might... Well, he rode him in the Ark when they came sixth the same year. But yeah, I can't believe he's still going. That's incredible. But I'm going to go for a horse that I saw race last week at Chester. And I might be wrong because it's up in grade and it's not really shown anything to say that he's going to win a race like this, but in terms of the form book. But I just like the way he ran through the race. Level look. Came second to Charmaine. It was one of the few horses that Hashim Murphy rode that day that didn't win. He had six rides, four winners, 2 seconds. And this was his first ride of the day. And he basically took a pull from the second widest draw and went in behind the horses, which you tend to have to do if you can't get a good start from a wide draw at Chester. And the race just ran away from him. Charmaine was third or fourth on the outside. She's a good mare. And that was only her first win on turf. So I think she's better than that anyway. And Level Look ran on without under not much pressure to finish second in the style of a horse that's definitely going to be better than 78. I mean, she won't be one of the best horses that Andrew Bordy's, but I've just got the fit. Sorry, he. But I think he's going to get better. And I would expect him to win off 78 somewhere. It's just whether he'll do it in this race, which is bound to be a little bit more competitive than other races he might be able to nick. But around about 11, 12 to 1. I'm going by what I saw here, Sam, rather than the form book. I just thought Level Look looked as if he was going to maybe just do a little bit better than his handicap mark. And they've given him a chance just 6 days later to prove that to be the case. So, yeah, Level Look for me.
Level Look for Ed Nicholson, a jockey we haven't mentioned about yet, but Frida Valskar. It's her Sugar Cup debut, which is a Norwegian jockey travelling over. I don't know too much about it, if I'm being totally honest, but we'll see what her skills are like on Saturday. Now, the final race that we look at is the Shergar Cup Mile. This is a real cracking race. I think this is the race of the day on this card, but the other guys might disagree with me. But Bullet Point is currently the favourite. William Haggis and Christoph Lemaire, 9-2 favourite. Ozat is 9-2. Ryan Moore's been jocked up, and all I can see on the RacePro's website is just numbers going down. 10-1, 8-1, 6-1, 9-2. Two Tribes is 11-2. Again, well backed, but you never guess who's on this one. Dylan Brown at Monagle. Cerulean Bay, David O'Mara, Jamie Mellon, second in the Golden Mile, and second in this race last year, 6-1. 13-2 about the reserve, Hickory. EBT's Guard, 15-2. Actually won this last year. Crown Board, 17-2, 12-1, and bigger the rest of the field. Matt Rennie, I actually think this is a cracking race. I mean, your horse from the Golden Mile in here, one of which is Cerulean Bay, who was one of my fancies last week. I really did think was going to run really well and found a wall of horses at Goodwood, as you often do, and ran on for second. And has a habit of finishing second quite a bit, and was second in this race last year. But I'm going to give Cerulean Bay one more chance. He might be one of my best bets of the week.
Yeah, not for me though. I actually think one's been really underestimated in this, and it's EBT's Guard or Epp's Guard. I don't know how you pronounce it. We'll go with EBT's because it makes it a bit easier. He just last year's winner. He simply loves the track. He's running, I think, it must be at least eight times maybe, or maybe even less than that. Eight times. And in five of those races, he's finishing the first three, and the other really good efforts include finishing a good fourth in the Royal Hunt Cup this year. He said he loves the track, whether it be straight or going round. He's off a rating of 103, which I think he ran off a pound lower. Within a neck of the Balmoral handicap on British Champions Day last year. So he's really still proven himself to do really well, you know, at this sort of rating, even though he's £5 higher than when he won this off last year. No luck in running the Golden Mile. How many horses can we say that for? So, but he did okay in the circumstances to finish ninth, and he was a good third behind Indalo before that. So 15-2, 8-7-1. You might be looking at each way value with him for here as well, but I think he's going to go really, really well.
Yeah, I don't know. Harry Wilson, speaking to him in the office again today, he was very sweet on EBT's Guard, trying to put me off Cerulean Bay as much as possible. So he beat him last year. He's a pound less than what he was last year, but look, we'll wait and see. Graham Robway, like I say, this is a cracking race and it is open, but some good horses in here.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sam. I think that Cerulean Bay is one of the bets of the day. I thought that last week he ran a massive race. Career best, finished second in that Golden Mile at Goodwood. I think that's going to turn out to be a very good effort because the winner, Archivist, could end up being a group horse, I think. He's in the Celebration Mile, that Archivist. And Cerulean Bay was running off level weights against him that day and beat the rest quite soundly. I just think he's got a massive class edge in this race. And I'm hoping it's going to be another one for Jamie Mellon.
Yep, Jamie Mellon, the Aussie jockey. I think, yeah, I'm really, really keen on this Cerulean Bay. Ed Nicholson, who were you keen on?
I'm not keen on much, to be honest, in this race. But I'm going to try Two Tribes, who came second to Amazing Journey, who won for us 2 weeks ago at Ascot over seven. When running on, beat two horses. Overtook two horses in the last 50 yards to get second, and then was favourite 11-2 favourite to win the Stewards' Cup last weekend, where he stumbled at the start, bumped into a horse, and basically finished 27 for 27, but given a very easy time of it after two furlongs. So I doubt whether that even was a race in terms of two prize mine. The only thing with Two Tribes is that this is his first attempt at a mile, so I'm taking it. I mean, you know, He could be okay, but he'd be running over 6-7 furlongs. He's never been over a mile. It'd be his 32nd race, I think. So there's a reason for that, isn't there? But I'm going to take a chance and just go for Two Tribes. I'm going to go to war with Two Tribes in this race, but it's not a big selection, I must say.
Okay, just the selection for Ed is Two Tribes, not the race that he'd be most keen on the card, though. So it's a really interesting card, the six races across Ascot. Do let us know in the comments who you like across the card at Ascot. Right, we're going to be looking at the supporting card at Haydock and Newmarket shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not, overnight market moves, eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious Edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, sponsored by Unibet, brought to you by the Racing Post. Sam Hart, Matt Rennie, Graham Robway and Ed Nicholson taking you through the ITV action this week. And we've covered the Shergar Cup, now away from the action at Ascot. And we head up to Haydock, where the first of the races we look at is the 225, which is the Rose of Lancaster Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile and a quarter. And Salau is topping the market currently. 10 to 11 is the price available for him. Nafran 100 to 30. Danger Bay 11 to 2. Convergence 8 to 1. The outsider of the five is Sea Scout at 33 to 1. Away from the team action now then, Graham Robway, and we head up to Haydock. Who do you like in this five runner event?
Yeah, it's an interesting little race, isn't it, Sam? Salau is obviously going to be the one to beat, but he is stepping up in class. It's not long that he was contesting handicaps, is it? And now he's won a listed race up to Group 3 company. I just think he might be a bit short odds on, so I'm going to take him on with Naran, who bumped into Map of Stars last time out at Ascot. I thought that was one of the better races of the whole week, that one that Map of Stars won. The trainer of Map of Stars is, of course, Monsieur Graffard, one of our favourite French trainers. And he said on his day, Map of Stars is a real top class horse, but he doesn't always have his day. He definitely was his day at Royal Ascot on that occasion. And Naran didn't run too badly in the end. He finished midfield. It was his first run since last year, so he's entitled to improve for the run. And he was quite well fancied to win that race. You know, he went off 5-1 joint favourite. So I think big things are going to be expected from Naran as we go into the autumn. And I think he can kick off by winning this, which is a race that the Gosden team won 10 years ago with Royal Artillery, Sam.
There you go. Yeah, it's a really interesting race. I mean, Salau the favourite's a horse who was really impressive, obviously, at Epsom during the Derby meeting, and then went to Sandown and looked really strong there, kind of looking like that horse that could step into this kind of class. Ed, I'm going to come to you next on this one. I mean, Graham's taking on the favourite. What was your opinion?
Yeah, I can understand why he wants to take Salau on, because, as he correctly pointed out, he wasn't long ago running off handicaps off a much lower mark, but you know, that performance at Sandown, where he beat Persico, a line through Persico. I don't think Naran can beat him. And I just think Salah is a better horse and is improving all the time. The only slight concern I'd have is on very, very faster ground, but it's good. And I think he'll be fine. I mean, Roger Varian does target this race. He actually mentioned this race directly after he won at Sandown, saying that there was one or two races he was thinking as a target for Salah. And is a typically improving four-year-old that, you know, he's very good with his three-year-olds and older horses, isn't he, Roger Varian? And he's run five horses in this race and they've come first, second, third, fourth and fifth. So, you know, he knows what it takes to run a decent horse in this race. And I think Salah wins, but he's no price. So I can understand why Graham's trying to take him on, but yeah, I expect Salah to win.
Okay, not one to be betting on Fred Nixon, but you expect Salah to take the Rose of Lancaster. Matt Rennie, you're going to have a deciding vote. Who do you think will be winning this race at Haydock?
Yeah, I'm sort of in Ed's camp that there's no appeal for me to have a bet on this race, purely because I think Salah is probably the best horse by quite a while in what looks a really weak Group 3, which is a shame for Haydock on its return from the ground drainage drama that it's had already this season. The only thing I was put up is Danger Bay, actually. I went to Redcar when it won the Zetland Gold Cup, and Ed Bethel was very effusive about how good of a horse he thinks this will be in time. Whether this is a step too soon is a different question. He ran really well and was really unlucky in the John Smith Cup, one of the biggest, most competitive handicaps in the UK this year. He was really fifth past the post, but was so badly hampered he was promoted to fourth and was really, really unlucky and one of the real eye catchers. I just wonder if this year he's won for the big handicaps rather than going to group company next year rather than going into group company this time round. But then again, if Salah flops, then it's an incredibly winnable Group 3. But no bet for me, but I'll be interested to see how Danger Bay gets on, whether he guides towards staying in the handicaps this year for like something like the Cambridgeshire or then can step up to group company with aplomb.
Okay. Yeah, Salah, yeah, but not one to be backing, one that could be very exciting in the future, worth watching out for, but a couple to look out for then from Matt and Graham. Will be taking on the favourite with Naran for the John and Faisdy Gosden team. Right, the other race we look at from Haydock is the 3 o'clock, which is the Dick Hearn Stakes, a listed contest over a mile, where we see the return of Fallen Angel, who's around the 8-11 favourite here. Alibiers 5-1, Pacific Mission 9-1, Calendar Girl is 14s, Notchy Classico 16-1, and 20-1 and bigger the rest. Matt, I'm going to come straight back to you on this one here. Fallen Angel, we haven't seen her since May. We know what she did last year. She was exceptional last year for the team, and it didn't quite turn out to be the best of runs on return this season, 4-4, but we know how classy she can be.
Yeah, exactly, and I think, to be fair, that ground at York at the Dante meeting, I know it looks described as good, it was on the quick side of good, and she's very much one of them horses where if it tips just narrowly the wrong side of the ground she wants, then that's game over. We know she likes a bit of digging the ground, and she comes into her own in the autumn. It'd be very interesting to see how Haydock's riding, given we haven't raced on it for nearly 3 months now or whatnot. Will it be genuine good ground with the dry spell we've had and the amount of water they've had to put on? I mean, it's a massive drop in class for her, and she should. I don't think her comeback was as bad as many people thought it was. I thought it was purely satisfactory, maybe even over a trip she's not supremely optimum at. It's a massive step down in class. If she shows anything like her Group 1 winning form last year, she's going to be so hard to beat. But at the same time, I'm happy to take on this occasion, given the amount of uncertainties there are. I just thought Pacific Mission at 9-1 was a bit too big, really. I thought she ran a stormer on rattling fast ground in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf at Del Mar in late October behind Ballantino, who I think still will be a good horse. Not as good as York, as she was on a comeback, and she just got bogged down by the mud at Epsom last time and was lame when going for what would have been a nice comeback mission at Sandown in early January on Eclipster. Just think, maybe with the runs under her belt and that Grade 1 top level, you know, form she's got in the book, she might just be being overlooked a little bit and worth taking on Fallen Angel with. There's a lot of questions about this race. I find it quite an interesting one, but I'll go with three places as well, each way Pacific Mission.
Okay, Pacific Mission then for Matt Rennie. Yeah, it's interesting, Fallen Angel, Waffenland Racing, obviously off the back of a really, really good Glorious Goodwood last week. So they're coming here with a real top quality horse, as mentioned by Matt, but he's going to be taking her on. Ed Nixon, to you then, will you be taking her on this weekend?
No, I won't be taking her on. I won't be having a bet myself. It's simply for the same reasons as the last selection. Fallen Angel was miles clear on ratings. Multiple Group 1 winner, three last year. This time last year, she just began her first of her three Group 1 victories in the pre-Rothschild, which was last weekend, wasn't it? And she should win. I mean, she's miles ahead on form. But that was last year. And as we all know, as you get older, you get a bit slower. And Fallen Angel, fourth of four on debut, doesn't smack of a horse you want to follow in at 8 to 11, 4 to 6. But if you look at her overall form, she should win this. And I know she is actually still in three Group 1s upcoming. So I would have thought this is, if you're looking at it from a positive, this is the perfect race to get ready for those bigger battles to come in the months to follow. She's taken on horses here that she's miles superior to on ratings. So, yeah, Fallen Angel will be my selection. But no doubt Mr. Rodway is looking to take her on because, you know, she's won the Irish Guineas 2 years ago. She won three Group 1s last year, but she's only run once this year, 86 days ago, and four for four. This is a classic race for Graham to oppose a favourite, I reckon.
Okay, well, we're about to find out. And you say people get slower with age, Ed. You've just seen Graham Rodway in Deauville a few weeks back, absolutely flying around the place, absolutely loving it. Will you be taking on the favourite, Graham?
Oh, yeah, dead keen to take Fallen Angel on. Yeah, I think she wants softer ground, ideally. Now, Matt makes a good point that we don't know how the ground will ride at Haydock after so long. You know, they probably will put plenty of water on. But even taking that into account, like Ed says, you know, she came back, she'd beaten a mile first, she ran okay, but she was beaten last of four first time out behind See the Fire in a very, very slowly run race. You know, like they went absolutely no pace, she went no pace in front, they quickened up and she wasn't able to hold them off despite having the run of things in front. And all of her best form is last year, so I'll be going with the up and comer Alabaya. I think it's called. William Haggis trains this, and he won this race a few years back with Miss O'Connor, who was a similar lightly raced improving type. And she comes in off the back of the win at Royal Ascot, of course, when she won the Kensington Palace very, very well. It's a big step up for her to go and take on a Group 1 horse of the quality of Fallen Angel. But we just don't know how good she is yet. Sam Alabaya, and we know that she's going to have no problem with quick ground because it was rattling fast at Ascot, wasn't it? So, yeah, more than happy to take on this favourite with the Haggis one, Alabaya.
Okay, two of our Racing Post pundits will be taking on Fallen Angel this week, and do let us know down in the comments if you'll be taking her on in the Dick Hearn Stakes at Haydock. And there is one more race away from Ascot that we're going to be looking at, which is from Newmarket. The 155 on the July course there is the Sweet Solera Stakes. This is a Group 3 contest for the two-year-olds over 7 furlongs, where Graceful Song is now the 11-8 favourite. Billy Lotnan riding for Charlie Appy, with William Buick currently out with a suspension. Nui Declare, Kevin Philibard-Foy, David Egan, 11-4 for Amma Racing. Harlequin Sky is currently 11-2. China In Your Hands, 10-1. Marinette, 10-1. 20-1 about Sugar, Yes Please, and Tea and Navi Ribbon. I'm going to go with that, is the 40-1 outsider. Billy Lotnan, after once again another big week at a big festival, he is just exceptional. There's only one man I have to go to here, and it's the man who says that he coined the nickname Billy the Kid, and he will still ramble on about this. But Graham Rodway, will Billy the Kid, if we're still calling him a kid now, will he be taking out the Sweet Solera?
I'm still claiming the credit for that. I don't know whether we can call him a kid if he becomes champion jockey, though.
Exactly.
Then Billy the Kid becomes Billy the Man, doesn't he? If he becomes champion jockey, Billy the Man. I like that. When I was at Newmarket last Saturday, lovely afternoon there, beautiful afternoon, and Billy the Kid rattled in a three-timer, including one for Godolphin in the first race. And I'm always very wary of these Godolphin juveniles on the July course. There's been a lot made about Godolphin not being quite the force that they have been in the past at the big meetings this year, but they are always very, very dangerous on the July track at Newmarket. They just run all their best horses there, and no doubt Graceful Song is going to be difficult to beat. However, I do like one at a massive price, so I'm going to throw it in there, and that is Sugar, Yes Please. for Eve Johnson Horton, who, of course, had Zavateri last season, one of the best juveniles around. Did it well at Newbury last time out, in a good time for the grade, and the form is okay. The third's won since, the fourth's come out and gone close since. I just don't think this horse should be the price that she is on the back of that performance at Newbury, and I'm going to take a chance against the hot favourite, Graceful Song, who, of course, has only won a novice herself.
Okay, the three favourites away from Ascot. Graham Robway will be taking on, but Sugar Yes Please is the one for him. Ed Nicholson, are you a man to have Sugar in your tea? Is that your play?
Yeah, I love one Sugar in my tea. And if Billy Loughlane does become champ, I think we can call him William the Conqueror.
Okay. Yeah?
I'll get my coat. So I actually think the same as Graham. I thought I'd found one, but wily old Graham's got the same idea. Sugar Yes Please, I thought, ran a really good race at Newbury. I noticed there'd been a lot of support for Sugar Yes Please on that occasion, and I watched the race with great interest, and she's definitely still very green. I haven't watched the race this morning, but I seem to think that she veered over going towards the far rail, I think. But she'd already won the race, and she was miles... She won easily. She might be a good horse, and as we know, Eve Johnson Horse, and as you said, you know, she can have a nice two-year-old. And the other reason for... I mean, I can't believe she's 20-1 in what I'm looking at. I think that's a massive price. I think the fact as well that I don't think this Graceful Song is as good as maybe some people think. I noticed that she was odds-on earlier on, and she's drifting. And Charlie Appleby, Godolphin, I looked at the winners of the race that Graceful Song won. And about 4 or 5 years ago, they won that race with Wild Goddess and came here, exactly the same sort of pattern. And that came 6 of 8 and ended up being kind of a nursery horse. So I don't know whether Graceful Song, again, you can't say just because that happened, Graceful Song's not going to be good. But it doesn't follow that, you know, that she's definitely going to be one of their top fillies. Noir de Claire ran okay at Ascot. I looked back at the race this morning. That fourth was okay. And Harlequin Sky has got good form. But I just thought that Sugar Yes Please was a likely improver and shouldn't be 20-1. So, yeah, Sugar Yes Please was my selection as well.
Okay, Sugar Yes Please then for Ed Nixon and Graham Robway. A nice big price to get stuck into there in Sweet Solera. Matt Rennie, you got the final say on the final race we'll be covering on this week's show.
Yeah, I'm in agreement a little each way on Sugar Yes Please. For all the reasons the guides have stated, so I'm not going to repeat them, but I'd more wax lyrical about how good of a trainer Eve Johnson Horton is, who does incredibly well with underestimated horses all the time. We saw Zavateri's completely underestimated last year, and then I still think he's got a Group 1 in him this year after his really good run in the Sussex Stakes at Glorious Goodwood. We've seen what she's done with Accidental Agent before as well. She gets these almost bargain buys and turns them into bona fide really good group race performers. And I was really impressed with the way she won at Newbury, even though she did hang really badly. So hopefully she can be towed into the race this time round, and we don't see that. I just feel it's also one of those Sweet Soleras where, one, I don't really want to be with any Godolphin horse at the moment. I just don't think the operation's up to scratch just at the moment this year. And it's not really screaming of the Sweet Solera that's produced the likes of Fallen Angel or Lake Victoria in the last couple of years. So very much worth a go each way with Sugar Yes Please, even though I don't drink tea.
There you go. Sugar Yes Please then, Matt Rennie as well. And I completely agree with you. Zavateri, by the way, is one of my big anti-post fancies of the year for the City of York, Matt. So, yeah, I'm in agreement there. Looking forward to York in, over a week's time now. But Sugar Yes Please, I want to say that this 20-1 Sugar Yes might be the biggest priced hat-trick horse we've ever had on this show. That's a huge price for you all to be agreeing on. So that's great, dear. And listeners, I'm sure, will be getting stuck in to Sugar Yes Please, the Eve Johnson Horton, in the 155 at Newmarket on Saturday. And that's it for the supporting card for the Shergar Cup. We're going to be back shortly after this with our best bets for the weekend.
Want your betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
So here we are then, the final part of this week's Racing Postcards, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet, Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Matt Rennie and Ed Nicholson. Now bringing you our best bets for Shergar Cup weekend. We've got the Shergar Cup. We've also got the two races at Haydock and the one at Newmarket. And the person to give their best bet first will be you, Mr. Graham Robway.
Yeah, just mentioned it, Sam. I fancy Cerulean Bay in the 4:30 at Ascot is one of the bets of the day.
Okay, Cerulean Bay, I'm really keen on that one as well. I'm going to go in the 2:45 at Ascot, which is the Shergar Cup Challenge, the mile and a half event. I'm going to go with Asgard's captain, who's only £2 above his last winning mark. Dropping back to a mile and a half is just perfect for this horse. I think Dylan Cunha's had it as a bit of a plan this Shergar Cup meeting, and he's been lucky enough to get Ryan Moore jocked up. So I think that price is more than fair. Ed Nicholson, your best bet, please.
Yeah, 3:55 at Ascot. He hasn't got the form in the book, but he's relatively lightly raced. I like the way he came second at Chester last time, and the price is really interesting me. So Level Look will be the nap of the week. Good price.
Okay, Level Look will be Ed Nicholson's nap. And Matt Rennie, you're going to finish us off this week.
Yeah, not last but not least, but in one of the first races, 1:35 at Ascot, the Shergar Cup Dash, always glamorous to continue his really good course record.
Okay, there you go, always glamorous. And there are our naps on the screen there. You can take a screenshot of those. Hopefully we can land plenty of winners, but there was lots of agreement at some big prices on this week's show. So if you are watching this as a clip on social media, do head and watch the whole show because there were some big, big price selections this week. And that's it for Shergar Cup weekend preview. Big thanks to my panel, Graham Robway, Matt Rennie, and as always, Ed Nicholson. We'll be back next week for some regular action. We won't have any team racing next week. We'll be back to the action just prior to York, where we'll have a good preview of York as well coming up very soon. So yeah, do look forward to that. But like, comment, share and subscribe. If you're having a bet this weekend, do gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next Thursday 7 p.m. for another Racing Postcast.